focusing particularly on aspects of your early biography, the move to Cape Town, early forms of organization in Cape Town.
You're the early biography.
Yeah, cover bit of that, yeah.
Well, that means is where I was born and so on.
So on. So on.
Okay. And so on.
In that article,
yes,
he notes that you were born in Lessetown.
And Lessetown.
Lessetown.
Yes, well, Lessetown is where Tabata left the people there. Mm-hmm. I was born further up in the Bailey. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
first of all, I must say this, that I'm going to be very short on that.
Yeah, fine.
I was born there. I come from a landed family.
Mm-hmm.
My great grandfathers were rather landowners rather than farmers,
mm-hmm.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
They had the land that was too big to be farmed. But as it came down, divided, the last division was what? My father's. Now he then could farm his bit. He was a farmer. But before then, they were just landowners, you have a whole lot of land that you can't use.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, my father then was a farmer, and he had a lot of children. How many have you? I have to count them.
No, that's okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
The point is that the last division of the land was when my father became. And he had his portion to divide into three.
Mm-hmm.
He had his portion. How do you measure land?
Acres or hectares?
You don't know Morgan.
Morgan, yes, I know as well.
Yeah. Now, well, then his share was 500 Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And a Morgan is just about a little more than two.
Acres,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in that.
Mm-hmm.
And
were there missionaries around there at the time?
Pardon?
Missionaries.
No, there were missionaries, not where we are, to the farm.
Yeah,
yeah. His father was a landed owner.
Uh-huh.
He was an owner of a farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Very big farm.
May I
don't know how many acres it was.
May I ask historically, how did he become a landowner?
Well, you see, first of all, the word Tabata itself, Tabata didn't live yesterday, long ago. My father was the son of Bangani, Bangani was the son of Mbuma, Mbuma was the son of Mpono, Mpono was the son of Tabata. So you see,
yeah.
It goes far back. And Tabata, brought his people that he led to this place called Lessetown.
Mm-hmm.
He settled them there and himself went up, further up to take the land up there together with what in English would call, barons. That class kind of,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now he then took his farm, that's how he got the land.
Yeah.
And when we finally defeated by the English, because it was really the English who defeated us. Then they had to register the land to the as it was. So that's how it came. Lessetown was a village.
Mm-hmm.
Village which of people who were brought there by Tabata, who was head of the of them, you know, tribal group.
Yes, tribal group.
Then he put them there, and he left tribalism, and then took to land. You understand why? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now you ask with the missionaries. Now somewhere along the line here, one son, who was my grandfather, kicked against religion and kicked against the way of life of religion. He wanted to go back. He loved wars, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Now that was my grandfather. Mm-hmm. So the laws of capitalism applied to him. So it didn't matter. It doesn't matter what color you are, the laws of capitalism were there. He was cut off the wheel. Mm-hmm. The English would say, cut off to a shilling. The land came from his father to my father. Oh. He was cut off. But
so that must have been early 1800s.
That was I know my grandfather. He died in 1919. I was his favorite.
Yes.
So it was now, that's my grandfather I'm talking about. So he lived over. My father was born centuries before,
yes.
You know, the previous century.
Right.
And so his father was still further back and so on.
Right.
You see, isn't that there?
So that's
the telephone.
So by the time you were born,
By the time I was born, we still lived in this land, and the farm was divided. So you, yeah. By the time I was born, it was still the land. Like the last division of the land was when I was already a boy, and. Then it was divided. The thing was divided into three farms. Mm-hmm. My father and then some others. Mm-hmm. Now, in my family, for a reason unknown to us, women also inherited land. Mm-hmm. So that is why the next farm wasn't called by Tabata, or the next one by Tabata, because the women, you know, the girls got married. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Was that unusual for the women to...
Most unusual. Oh. In fact, I didn't know, I don't know it to have happened anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was quite unusual.
And how many children were you?
Oh, we had a hell of children. I've got to count now. 11, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but, although we were that many, my father had to bring up the children of his brothers and sisters, send them to school, because he had inherited the farm, which would have been his father's. You see, was taken straight from my grandfather, great-grandfather to him. So I suppose he felt obliged. That we didn't understand at the time. Only now, when I'm old, I begin to realize that's what he must have felt.
Yeah.
Anything in particular?
No.
So that was that.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent them to school, and we sent us to school.
Which school?
Well, there was a school in the farm itself. Mm-hmm. There was a school going up to standard 4. After that, you had to go now for the first time I come across missionaries.
Uh-huh.
That is Loveday.
Oh, so these schools in Lesserton weren't run by who were they run?
Oh, by this time there were a few educated blacks.
Uh-huh.
Here and there,
uh-huh.
You know, for the lower standards.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Then we went to the institution, you know, a boarding school, Lovedale. My sisters and myself went there.
Uh-huh.
And At this point, up to this point, I did not know I was not a full human being, if you catch what I mean.
Yeah.
I went there and I saw the whites. The only whites I knew were the Boers who worked on the railway line that goes through the farm. And, we, you know, they look so dirty. We couldn't And then, of course, the shopkeeper. Mm-hmm. And there was a shop close by, next farm. And then the little town. And when we went there, I didn't know there was anybody higher than my father. Mm-hmm. Because the shopkeepers would, you know, they're not concerned about your color.
Yeah.
They're concerned about what's in your pocket.
Yeah.
So you're Mr. So-and-so, and they play about with you. So that's how I grew up, and I saw my father's Mr. So-and-so, people, you know, doing all sorts of things to him.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm explaining to you. When I did finally come to Cape Town, I did not know, I had no inferiority complex, and I had no, thanks to my mother, I had no superiority complex either, because these were the two dangers, but I appreciate how my mother brought us up, because she belonged to the old school who felt that we were defeated by the whites because they had education and they had weapons which we couldn't make. Mm-hmm. So they felt that if we go and get education, we will learn how to make those weapons and we'll drive them out again. Mm-hmm. So it was then in that generation of my father and so on. My mother would see to it that all the children of the people working in the farm go to school. And there was only one school, that's the school I went to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the idea then, you know, all the old people later or earlier, the teachers had were dedicated people. And they were thinking in terms of liberating the whole so-and-so. That was the attitude at the time.
Do you remember your period at Lovedale? Which periods you were at Lovedale?
I went to Lovedale in 1923.
23?
Yes.
So,
Mr. Tabata was born in 1909.
Yes. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
1909, was it?
Yeah. That's right.
And the reason why he came to Cape Town is because of the Great Depression that hit South Africa.
Let me take that a bit.
That's a period you've got to bring out.
Yeah.
So you see, then my father died in 1929.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as I always said, he died in very good time. He died in 1929. And then there was a depression, you remember the World Depression, which reached South Africa about 30-31. And then all farmers went down, boom, like that. Then we were then at Lovedale.
Mm-hmm.
And at a given point I found that my mother was pulling hard. It so happened, I don't need to go into the details of that now, lawyers pinching monies and so
mm-hmm.
on,
mm-hmm.
that's nothing, like, you know, the question is that now we went to Lovedale, and then because that we couldn't go any further now, and my mother couldn't manage, of course my brother was managing the farm, and so I asked to be let out. So because I'm a man, keep my sisters at school, and I would go and work, and then still go what education I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I went to Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I came to Cape Town, One, two, three, I met them. Mm-hmm. And her brother, who had, the youngest brother, had just arrived from London.
Is that Ghulam?
Ghulam, that's right. And I had arrived in so-and-so. And we struck up a friendship. And so we began to attend. We began to find out that there were lots of clubs all over the place.
Yeah, they mentioned the Spartacists.
Pardon?
Yeah, they mentioned the Spartacists. Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's right. And we attended these clubs because Cape Town was teeming. Now, it was at a time when the Russian Revolution, the effect of the Russian Revolution, which had come right through Spain and come right down to South Africa, entered South Africa through Cape Town. And many of the young Jews and so on who came from Lithuania and those places where the revolution had been came to Cape Town. And a number of progressive professors who got jobs in Cape Town. If you know people like Farrington, who wrote the, what's that, Greek, something like that?
Greek Science.
Benjamin Farrington.
The Greek Science.
Benjamin Farrington.
But
Benjamin.
That's right.
The same man who was in Cape Town.
That's right, yes. He was in Cape Town. A very good lecturer.
Yes.
If he was lecturing somewhere, we couldn't miss that one. Mm-hmm. Because he would put his point across so well. Yeah. And then Bodmer, who wrote The Loom of
Language,
and that crowd. So all leftists were at the university. Uh-huh. And then the place was teeming with,
activity.
What do you call it?
Ferment. You would say cultural people who were progressively minded. Mm. They weren't on the left, but they had progressive ideas. Farrington was a scientist, pure and simple, historical scientist. And Bodmer, the Loom of Language, was investigating the origins of language in a scientific manner. And it went through all of them. It was a promotion of science over prejudices and all the racial prejudices. Mm-hmm. It was a hatred against Hitler's whole idea of racial prejudices, you know. This was before the time.
But you must understand this.
It was after the war, wasn't it?
That was after the war. But you must understand this, that these fellows were leftists. You remember, that is, when the Russian Revolution arrived in the country, through Europe.
And this includes Lancelot Hogben as well.
Hogben was there too. Mm-hmm. That's right. Now it was those crowds, and we attended all these. And then there was also the Communist Party. Mm-hmm. We also attended that. And in the end we found, we can't learn anything from this one. You know,
we couldn't learn anything from the Communist Party study groups.
We didn't leave the Communist Party on ideological grounds. Mm-hmm. We just found they are no better than ourselves. They know hardly more than ourselves.
Right.
So we didn't go there anymore. We went to the other people. So
For accuracy, what year did you come to Cape Town?
What year was it now?
He was 19 when he came to Cape Town.
Wait a minute, was he 32?
32,
31 or 32.
19 would make it 28 then.
No, not really.
You stayed with your brother.
No, no, darling. I came there.
Later?
Yeah, not later. I came to Cape Town, I think, I died 31 and went back again to college and came back again. And now to stay for good, I think it's 32.
We only met you in 32.
32.
32 around.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But he had come there before, you see.
Yeah.
He had come there to find, shall I say, about the lawyer, or just cut that out?
No, I had promised my mother that I would, find a lawyer and execute myself and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And those days there were no Africans in Cape Town. See what I mean? The only Africans that there were those who carried daga. You know daga when they make a building?
Yeah.
Or a milkman.
Or dock workers,
that's right. But that was about all.
You remember Dabeni?
Yeah, that's right.
There were a few Africans at Dabeni.
Yeah.
And there were some dock workers. Those days you hardly saw Africans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before the war, 1928.
Mm.
So when you came to Cape Town, did you go to Ndebeni or did you come straight to the center of Cape Town?
I came to Belleville, mm-hmm. and I went into Cape Town. Now I could stay in Cape Town because I was a registered voter.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, those days you could register and be in the same register with the whites.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me the right to be in Cape Town.
The common road.
The common road with the whites.
The blacks have had the common road.
Yeah.
People too.
Well, I got there because of my, family issue, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I lived in Cape Town. I never lived in the location.
And you had gone up to what standard at
Lovedale? I went to Lovedale, finished, I went to Fort Hare. But those days, Fort Hare only had, had a matric.
Mm-hmm.
No, not only had a matric. What I want to put is that matric was still at Fort Hare those days.
Oh, so it was before you came to Cape Town, you went to Fort Hare?
Yes, I went to Fort Hare.
And you just left Fort Hare for Cape Town?
That's right.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
You didn't go back to Fort Hare?
No, I didn't go back again.
That's when the depression started,
So
he told his mother to sacrifice his education for his children and find out if he could get articles in some lawyer's office, making his mother believe he would pursue his education that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go on. No, I wanted to know some of the names of the clubs at that time. You were speaking of the early clubs which you met.
Oh my goodness, what would they?
There was a Spartacus club. There was a Lenin club.
Was that in the early 30s?
Yeah, early 30s.
Yeah, that was in the early. Now this Lenin club was made up of all sorts of leftist groups, especially the people who had just come as refugees from Europe, most of them were.
And so?
And there were some local people, and these early lecturers all lectured there. Mm-hmm. It was in a place in Roland Street.
So other than lectures, what did they do anything else at the clubs? Reading groups?
There were many discussions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was a discussion about party politics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Party politics.
No, what there was, no, did it function outside? No, they were just clubs for,
intellectual.
For
acquiring knowledge.
Yeah,
that's what we went for.
They didn't participate in outside activities because they didn't have the membership.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, they didn't have any blacks, and the Jewish workers were a minority. After all, the Jewish workers were mainly, mostly came from Europe, but they belonged to the petty bourgeois class.
But the point is that they were not a party.
Yeah,
they were a club.
Yeah, they were a club.
Yeah. So then, of course, there was the Communist Party.
He wants to ask questions. The party. Yes.
Oh, so what work did you do in Cape Town?
I tried to get. But now, by this time, when I got hold of this, I tried all the lawyers there. They said, no, go back to the Transkei. Nobody will take you here. Mm-hmm. And indeed, I didn't know at that time, because there were no African clients, you see. So I refused to go to, and I thought myself, I will do any kind of work in order to remain here, because by this time, I had discovered what I called life, the source of life. I had discovered, first of all, I'm not a human being, I'm half a human being, and I have got to fight to be a human being. Mm-hmm. And that all, and I can't be one by myself, I can only be one with the population. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And two, there were these clubs who had seen now how to get there, some ideas on liberation. And I decided I'm never going to leave Cape Town. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I stayed in Cape Town. I would take any job that came, mm-hmm. or rather look for any job as long as I stayed there.
And was it easy to get work?
It wasn't. That was the whole point. And that was when I used, you see, in the press, mm-hmm. you know, and so on, so and
starving.
I apply, and then I apply.
I'd be even starving.
And then I would apply, no, they wouldn't even answer. Mm-hmm. Then I discovered, they told me, no, that's for Europeans, man. You can't, they'll never take you there. You're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. So I stayed there, poor as anything. Mm-hmm. Then I had met them.
Oh, and then when did you join? You became a lorry driver, didn't you, at one stage?
By that time, we were already become. Our club had now decided to form a party. Mm-hmm. So
was this the Lenin Club or the Spartacist Club?
This original Lenin Club, now presented after I don't know how many years, because we came in late, you see. They came to know of it very late. Mm. And we heard now that they were going to present three theses.
To form a club. Yeah. I mean a party.
Yeah. One was the national movement in South Africa, two, the trade union question, and what was the third one? The international situation, I think. There were three theses, I forget.
Mm-hmm. The three, there's the national question.
The national question, trade union thesis, and the international question. There were three theses. The difference in the club arose. Mm-hmm. And one spoke about the indigenous bourgeoisie, indigenous bourgeoisie, and the others. So, but anyway, two points of view emerged. Mm-hmm. And I can say we were innocents, absolutely. We were completely ignorant of what the arguments were about. But one thing decided me, at least, must have been for all of us, because the three of us discussed together. Our brother, I, B, and myself. The one thesis said that we have got to support the local bourgeoisie, the real nationalists of this country. And who are they? Because it's a national movement, must support the national bourgeoisie. Mm-hmm. Because we, representing, if we remain the working class, we are very weak, and this is a national struggle. Therefore, the national bourgeoisie are the Afrikaners.
And they
are anti-imperialists. They are anti-imperialists, and we must support them. The African and the coloured people and the Indians must support the Afrikaners. That's what the one thesis said.
Because they didn't say the Afrikaners.
Yeah.
They said Finasnaf was who happened to be Afrikaners. Yeah.
Yeah. And so on, and there was the trade union question, and there was the international question. But you had to accept all three theses as a whole. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the other thesis said, but the other thesis condemned this. Said, this be the national bourgeois, the Afrikaners.
You couldn't stomach the idea.
Yeah, the Afrikaners represent, I don't know what, but...
They were the national bourgeoisie.
Yeah, they are the national bourgeoisie, but the national struggle does not depend on the Afrikaners. The one thesis opposed them.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Said the real basis of the struggle is the agrarian revolution. It's the land question. And it's the blacks who are the real something of, which we supported.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we understood, but we couldn't understand the other thesis about supporting.
We just rejected it.
The leader of that section, the Afrikaner section, supporting of the Afrikaners, was a fellow by the name of Averbach.
Mm-hmm.
And the heir of Averbach was Chaffee.
Oh.
So Chaffee became
was this
a member of that club.
Can I just change the cassette at this point? Just turn it around.